Hey, this is Kyle Eidelman from Southeast Christian Church, and I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures together, I pray that this message inspires you, challenges you, and is the right word at just the right time in your life. Enjoy the message.
Family, how are we doing today? Y'all doing good? All right. Excited to be here. That song is such a good song, isn't it? And even as I was listening to it, I just thought, man, Lord, if we only knew how good and kind you really are, you know? Like some of you in the room, I know this, I think it's true about myself. If we only knew the plans he has for us and the kindness that he wants to extend to us, it is profound. And so here's where we're going to go today. You know that for the last 3 weeks, we've been doing a marriage and relationship series called A Profound Mystery. And so we're just going to lean into that today. And I get to close this out. I'm excited about that. I've been married for 24 years. Can you believe that? Pretty exciting. Some of you are like, child's play. But 24 years, and 16 of those 24 years have been right here at this church, embedded with a lot of you, shoulder to shoulder. My wife, Sarah, who I love, my 5 kids, we're just figuring it out. How do we pursue Jesus together? And we've heard some good messages. If you've missed one, you've missed out. A couple weeks ago, Ben Stewart had a message on marriage on mission. Who got to hear that? It was amazing. It was so good. And then last week we had Bob in. I just love Bob, just talking about modeling marriage. And he's a guy that I've looked up to. And so here is what we are going to do today. We're going to wrap this up. But single people, where are you at in here? They're all here. It's good. You guys should. Anyway, so. So here's what I'm going to do. You're not off the hook, singles in the room, not just young singles, but any singles. We're just going to talk to all of you today, and I've got to be honest, I have an agenda for us today. Can I be honest? I think I would say we as a church have an agenda. Number one is we want you to hear today God's good plans for you and your marriage and your singleness. Just want you to be blown away by his kindness towards you, his plans for you, that no matter where you are and no matter where you've been, his plans for you today are good. And number two, we want you to respond to that. Like today, after 3 weeks of talking about this, we feel like it's an opportunity for us to just respond, to say, Father, we want to get back to your good plans. We want to get back to your provision and your desires for us. And so that's what we're going to do today. And the way that we're going to do that is we're just going to unpack a parable of Jesus. So Jesus had this way, I think you know this about it, Jesus had this way of talking to people. And when he would talk to you, he would very quickly, as soon as he started talking, you'd recognize not only where you really were, but you would start to see that there's such a distance from where you think things should be and where he's really calling you. Let me put it like this. He would talk about friendships. And as Jesus would talk about friendships, you'd say, I've got friends, right? I got friends. And then Jesus would start to talk about friendship. And you say, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend that's with you that speaks courage into you. There's a friend that every time they're around, they add something to you. They lay their life down for you. They speak courage in moments and times when you need it. And they're a safe place to confess. You don't have to worry about being judged by them. He would talk about friends and you go, oh, I don't have any of those. Second of all, he would talk about purpose. He talk about purpose and you would tell me, I got purpose. I know what I'm doing. And then all of a sudden he would talk about purpose. And his kind of purpose was like the kind of purpose where he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb and he had plans for you and he wired you and he's allowed you to go through what you've been through. But that even in that, he was going to redeem that. He was going to use that and that your life could be used in ways that you never fathomed or dreamed of. God loves you. And Jesus would just give you this passionate thing. He would talk about marriage. I love the way he did this. He would talk about marriage, and a lot of us in the room would say, got one? Married singles in the room say, don't have one? Here's what he would say. In marriage, here's what we have. Somebody and together to the end. But Jesus would talk about it, and he would talk like if out of Ephesians 5. He would say things like, there's this thing called marriage. And it's two people with mutual submission on mission with God, and that they have purpose, and that God's gonna use them in powerful ways, and it's never really gonna be about them, but because neither one of them are really about them, it's always gonna be for each other, and it's always gonna be headed in a direction that will bring you peace and fullness. And most people would say, I want that. In singleness, he would say, listen, I know for some of you, Maybe singleness, you know, there's a stigma that, you know, I'm only single because of, or single's like an indictment. But when Jesus talked about singleness, what would Jesus say about singleness? He said singleness is a gift. It's a gift from God, that there's something reserved for singleness that you can do in singleness that you can't actually do in marriage. So even if you're single for a season or for your lifetime, that there's something that God can do and use in you and through you that are powerful. And so what I wanna do today, and I wanna give us an opportunity to just listen to Jesus tell us a story to kind of help us get back to what it is that he, his purpose and his desire for us in marriage, for us in singleness. And so I'm just gonna start in Luke chapter 15. It's gonna be kind of a familiar passage that a lot of you know, but I just wanna have, hopefully you have fresh eyes for this today. But in Luke 15 verse 1, I'm just gonna start with the story. It says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So right off the bat, before we go too far, I just wanna make sure that we know who Jesus is talking to today. Because Jesus had this ability, when he would speak, he would not just show you where you were and where you would hope to be, but when he spoke, real people leaned in. Not like just the fake Christian people maybe that are kind of on the side and kind of the religion and the stereotypes, but real people wanted to hear from Jesus because he was so real. And so in this moment, they lean in to hear Jesus and they want to hear him talk. And Jesus says, okay, listen, I understand where your marriages are. And I need some of you in the room today, I need you to hear this. Jesus knows where your marriage is today, and this message is still for you. Some of you in your singleness, and some of the broken relationships that you've been in and some of the impossible situations you face today, I just need you to know, Jesus knows, like he understands the reality of where you are, and he has a way to take you right where you are and to take you where God longs to plant you. And so most people would say, I don't know how to get there. And so Jesus says, okay, then let me help. Let me just help. Luke 15, verse 11, he just says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. So we're gonna talk about the first, we'll talk about the second later, but the younger one said to his father, Father, would you mind giving me my share of the estate? So the father, this is crazy, divided his property between them. So real fast, let me just explain. There's a father and he's a good father. And he provides for his sons, and ultimately one day the son knows that the provisions that are coming from my father, it's gonna pass my way. So the son makes a bold move. He just goes to the father and says, hey, listen, dad, I know that we're under your rules. I know that we're under your provision. I know this is kind of the way that you run things, but I'm just telling you, if I'm being honest, I've seen something on the horizon that I really want. And if I could just get the provisions, I mean, I know I could stick around, but I'm just gonna be honest. I'm not sure, like I see something I want and I think I just wanna go do that. So the father, crazy, says, okay. Back into the text, verse 13 says, not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had. So he gets everything together and he just set off all that he had. He had no plans of returning. He knew what was on the horizon was what he wanted. So he set off for a distant country, and it says, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. Was it over a month? I don't know. Was it 5 years? Was it 10 years? We don't know. It's a parable. But what happens is, in this story, Jesus starts painting this picture of a young man who went off to a distant country to get everything that he ever wanted in life. But he made some bad decisions. Maybe it wasn't the first bad decision, but then the bad decisions kind of started to pile up. But at some point, he ended up squandering his wealth in wild living. Verse 14 says, after he had spent everything. I mean, it's all gone. After he had spent everything. Well, how much is everything? Did he just not have enough? Well, the father gave him half of his inheritance. He had enough to live life and to be full. But the problem was, he didn't know how to invest it. Like he took what the father gave him and he probably should have invested in these kinds of friends, and he probably should have invested in these types of opportunities, and he probably should have invested in this kind of future, but that's not the way it worked. He got out there and he took the provision that God gave him and he just used it however he wanted to get that thing that he really thought he needed. And come to find out, passage goes on, it says there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he doesn't invest it wisely. And then a season of lack hits. And by the way, seasons of lack come. And it led him to having this emptiness inside of him. He started creating this hunger that he had never experienced in him, because where he came from, his father always made sure he never went hungry. And yet here he is hungering for like base level things. So verse 15 says, so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. So you got a good Jewish boy, not just touching pigs, feeding pigs. Verse 16, and this kind of sums up where he's gotten, chasing his own place, his own country. Verse 16 says, he longed to fill his stomach. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. This is gonna seem crazy, right? But this young man starts longing for what he would have never settled for. Let me just say that again. He started longing for what he would have never settled for. Like earlier on, when he would sit at his father's table, he would have never said, you know what I really want right now? I want some pig slop. And yet here he is. And his stomach is longing for what he would have never settled for, but no one gave him anything. So I just want to be really clear, and I just want to be helpful today. But I just wanted to find, what is this distant country that Jesus is trying to paint a picture for? Well, I think it's pretty clear that Jesus painting a distant country to be any time we had head down a path that is not God's design, it's not his plans, and it's certainly not his heart. And we say, God, look, I know that you have this plan for me. I know that you have some wisdom to give me. I know that you want to be near. I know, but I'm just telling you this. I see something on the horizon, and I think I got this. Like, I think I got this. I mean, what we all know is the distant country looks great from a distance, right? So all of a sudden, the young man says, okay, look, I see this, but what I see over there is I see me being able to be respected. Like, don't you understand? Like, I want to be respected as my own person. I want to be somebody that when people walk in the room, people go, wow. You know, what I see over there is like, I want a marriage and I want this, but if I'm gonna get what I want, I'm gonna have to be successful. And over here, I'm just kind of a part of this, but over there, I can be the man, I can be in charge. Or maybe, we don't know his wiring, maybe he just wanted to be loved, or maybe he wanted to be desired. We don't know what took him there. Maybe he had been on Instagram a lot recently. And he was just flipping through and he was like, man, I want an Instagram family, man. Like, I want that house and I want that car and I want that wife that adores and just tells me how great I am. And I want 2.5 kids. I don't even know how you do it, but I want it. And I want what I see it and I want it. And this isn't getting me what I want. And so if I can see it, I think if I could just go get it, I could have it. Some singles in the room are like, that's never been my dream, but your dream has been, to be honest, the same feed. Maybe it's not Insta, maybe it's Snap, but you're looking at the pictures and you're like, I wanna be a part of that nightlife. I wanna have a different person on my arm. I don't wanna have to be alone. I don't wanna have to make a decision about who I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with. I wanna make a decision based on who I wanna spend tonight with. So Jesus paints a picture. I think he does a pretty good job of the distant country and what brings all of us, the gravitational pull for all of us. But then he also gives us a picture of what the distant country looks like when you've gotten a few miles down the road and a few years behind you. Because it looked great from the distance, but how many people in the room would say, but it doesn't look the same up close, does it? So Jesus, I think, would say this with a picture, like the distant country is, like I know that it seems great, but it's always gonna take you farther from God's ways and from his heart and from his intent from you than you ever possibly knew. Like you thought, like you kind of like some things about God, but you really want what you want. So you thought if I could just go get what I want, then I'm still gonna hang on to some of this. But then fast forward And here's the thing, you set out to be successful because why? Because you're not a bad person, but you're like, well, I want that marriage, I want that. And if I'm gonna have that house, and if I'm gonna have the boat, and if we're gonna have that, and if I'm gonna have an awesome family, then I'm gonna have to work harder. Now I'm gonna have to be successful, I'm gonna have to make money. So I'm gonna put my faith in working, and I'm gonna build up my wealth, and I'm gonna be successful, and all of a sudden this thing called pride creeps in, and this thing called workaholism comes in, and all of a sudden you get down to that distant country that you were positive, and you guess what? You have money and you have stuff, but you have zero relationship with your wife, you have zero relationship with your kids, and you're a pretty prideful, arrogant person, and you know it. It doesn't look good up close, does it? You know, you say to yourself, you know what? I just want to find my person. Like, and I don't want him to, you know, I don't want to have to pick it out of this group. These people, you know, I want to pick my own person. And I want them to just be beautiful. And I want them to be attractive. And I want to be charismatic. And I want them, and so I'm just going to go after them. And I'm going to pursue, I just want my person. But then all of a sudden you pursue your person and you realize that as you get out there, that neither one of you are really following the Lord. Some of you didn't even know that was a thing when you started. But then all of a sudden you both realize, you get farther down the road and you realize that I'm living for myself and I'm expecting her to fill my needs. She's living for herself and she's expecting me to fill her needs. And all of a sudden we're out here and we're just pursuing and we're passionate. We thought we had this, but we don't have this. And then we realize that so much of our lives are wrapped up in self-absorption and so much of our lives are wrapped up in unmet and really kind of unreal expectations. And then all of a sudden, the cancer of comparison comes in. And all of a sudden, we're not even looking at our stuff. We're looking around and we're like, well, I want his house and I want his boat. And I want my wife to talk to me like that. And I want kids like that. And I want a single life. I want. And all of a sudden, comparison, where's the lead? It robs your optimism, gives way to cynicism. Cynicism gives birth to criticism. And what happens when criticism gets in a marriage? Now we're fighting. And I'll either fight you by not saying a word to you, or I'm gonna fight you by saying words that I never, ever, ever, ever thought I would say to my spouse, to my kids. You set out to have somebody to share your life with, but just be honest, you were both focused on you. And when you focus on you, and the only power that you have to change is supposed to come from you, then you end up like this younger brother, anybody in the room, feeling stuck and like you're settling or feeling lonely and distant. And unfortunately, I think that's, as I was praying about this, I think that's how so many of you would describe your marriage. You'd say, yeah, that's, if I had words to describe my marriage right now, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm stuck. I feel like I'm settling. I feel lonely. And yeah, I feel just really distant. Distant from what? Distant from change. Distant from a solution. Some of you singles, because of where you've been and the road that you've been on, some of your dreams of ever finding the one, or kind of living out of like just a purpose-filled, joy-filled life, just feels real distant right now. And right now, I hate this, but there are so many of you in the room, we're coming back to God's ways where they're really full, where they're really dynamic, where it really burns like a fire in your soul, feels so impossible. And you all know, man, the further you've traveled into the distant country, the harder it is to come back. Like Galatians 6:7 says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And so what we don't understand is the more we sow this pride of I've got this, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this, I'm on my own, I don't need anybody, come over time and you find out you don't have this. And you don't have the power to change it. But you don't know how to ask anybody else for help, because you spent a life doing it on your own. What do we sow? We sow bad decisions. So many decisions that we love to go back and change, but now they're not just affecting me, but they're affecting my family. They're affecting my friends. These bad decisions, they just kind of stack up and stack up. And all of a sudden, even changing feels so complicated. I feel like I'm so scarred. I feel like I've got calluses. My heart is calloused. I don't even feel the way that I used to feel anymore. We make bad investments, right? We invest in friendships that are shallow, that are centered around stuff that doesn't matter, and it's sports teams and stuff, but we've never invested in a friend that can tend to our souls and be a running mate with us. Some other marriages that can really spur us on. We've never really invested in our marriages. We've never really invested in the kingdom. And so somehow we just make all of these bad investments, and then all of a sudden we've invested so much in our right now lifestyle. And fast forward any amount of time, and we've already spent what we had. We're out of gas, and we have a lack, and we're lacking joy, and we're lacking intimacy, and we're lacking the strength to change. And then you find yourself in need. You find this emptiness growing, and this loneliness and hopelessness growing. And right now, I hate this. But even right now, some of you are longing for what you would have never settled for 5 years ago. So Jesus steps into real people in a real situation where they just want to get back, and he gives us what we need. He gives us a picture of how to find our way back. Luke 15, verse 17 says this, says, when he came to his senses, this young man, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and yet here I am, and I'm like starving to death. So here's what I'm gonna do. Verse 18, I will set out, I will go back to my father, and I'm gonna say to him, I love that he rehearses this, Father, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I think Jesus paints a picture, and I think there's a group of people in this room that really need to hear this. He just says, listen, if you're ever gonna leave the distant country and come back to the Father, here's where it's gonna start. It's gonna start with you just stop, man. Like, I just wanna invite you, just come to your senses. And here's what he says. He said, first of all, I want you to remember who the Father is. Some of you don't know who he is, and maybe you're still leaning in, but some of you know that that's who he is, that he loves you, that he's kind, that he has plans for you. And you need to remember that the Father is for you, that the Father is the one who runs to you. The Father is so good. You need to remember who the Father is. Second of all, you need to recognize. Like, you gotta come to your senses. You gotta recognize that the road that you've chosen has not taken you where you thought it would take you. The bigger house hasn't given you a better marriage. The bigger business and the way that other people see you has not helped you with the relationship that you lack with your son. The vacations over time can become empty vacations, because I'm just telling you, you've got to snap out of it. The road that I've chosen hasn't taken me where I thought it would. And then thirdly, just to realize, and I hope you hear me today, to realize, it doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to stay where, he didn't have to stay where he was. And I need some of you to hear, in your marriage, and some of your single brokenness right now, I just need to know, it doesn't have to be this way. All you gotta do is come to your senses and realize, and just say to him, God, I don't got this. Verse 20 says this, it says, so he got up and he went to his father. Says, hey, listen, if you want to turn this thing around, you're gonna have to get up off your feet, and you're gonna have to move to the Father. And this is the turn. This is the place where he says, okay, it's not just about coming to my senses. It's not just about my feelings. This guy has to say, okay, now it's time to get up. I've been headed this direction, and I'm gonna turn my life around, and I'm gonna head back to the Father. This is literally the picture of a thing we call repentance. Repentance isn't just sitting here saying, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Repentance, the word literally means you get yourself up. There's a banner of my own life that I've been living on. I lay that banner down on the ground, and I turn my life around, and I say, God, I don't know what I've been doing, but I'm headed to you, man. Like, I want your kingdom. I want your ways. I want your heart. I want your words. I want your wisdom. I need your healing. I know who you are, and I'm returning to you. And I'm gonna move. I'm going to take action. And I love this. Favorite part of the story. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and had a long list of all the things he was going to do before he came home. And spent the next 2 hours asking him, why did you do what you did? Do you realize what you've done? You may have to heal some relationships when you get back. That's called just being mature. But the father said, while he was still a long way off, the father saw him, was full of compassion. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him. He just kissed him. He said, the son said to him, and he had this pre-rehearsed line, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. And he just put a ring on his finger. He said, listen, you're not going to come back as a slave, not in this house. When you come back to the father, you are a son. He puts a robe around him. He says, listen, I know you've got a lot of scars and I know that you feel naked and you feel ashamed, but here I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to make sure that there's no shame when you walk through my house. He says, listen, I'm going to put sandals on your feet. I know that this life has caused you calluses and your feet look like they've been down roads that you never thought they'd go. And I guess what? I bet there were not just calluses on his feet. There were calluses on his heart. And the father said, in this house, over time, we remove calluses. Verse 23, so bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. I think in this moment, the words just, you know, not only do you have to stop and come to your senses, you got to get up and you got to move. But then ultimately, and this is the best part, you just need to receive the love and the grace of a father who loves you and wants to restore you and has a church bride here to help you. I don't know who needs to hear that today. But you need to know that your marriage is not over. And you're not too far gone. And I don't care if you've been married for 1 year or for 50 years. God can still do the impossible in your life. Some of you are in a season of singleness, whether it's a season or it's long-term, and you have been so broken and you've made bad decisions and bad things have happened to you. And I just need you to know, this is not the end for you. The Father has good plans for you. So I was talking to my wife about my sermon. That's what I do. I walk through the sermon with her. She usually makes it 8 billion times better. And she's like, said, baby, how many people do you think are in that place? Like if you had to give a percentage of the people. And I was like, I don't know. I haven't thought about that. She's like, well, you know, like 30%, 40%. I was like, I don't know. She said, well, what about everybody else? And it's funny because remember I told you earlier, there's two sons. So I don't know if you remember the response of the second son, but the second son in Luke 15, The older brother finds out about it, and come to find out, he's pretty mad. Luke 15, 28 says this. It says, the older brother became angry. He refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father. He said, look, hear this. Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property, let's be honest, I'm not gonna candy coat it, with a bunch of prostitutes comes home, then you're gonna kill the fatted calf? And all of a sudden in this statement, you hear the heart of this older brother. I can almost picture the father leaning in and saying, you think what you're doing is slaving for me? Like you're in my house and you think all of this is just about rules? And all of a sudden we realize the younger son's not the only one that's lost. I've been Y'all, I've been here for 16 years and I love you. And I've been into some of the homes of some of the most amazing men and women of God. When I walk in, I just wanna be better. I just wanna go after him harder. I wanna love more. I wanna let go more. I'm just telling you, that's what I want. And I've also walked through some houses over the last 16 years. And some of them are in the church, some are out of the church. And I walk in and I'm just saying, they're going through like all the moral stuff and they're not cheating and they're not doing this and they're making sure that they're showing up and they really are pretty kind and they're pretty organized and life isn't too chaotic around them. But I walk through their home and I walk through their marriages and I walk through their single apartments and I feel nothing but cold emptiness. And that's been my home before. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, my oldest son Noah is doing fantastic right now, loves Jesus off the charts. But there was a season when he was in high school, he wasn't even sure there was a God, and it about wrecked my soul. And I remember, it was a long journey. And I remember him just saying, and he was trying to comfort me one day and he came in and he said, "Hey dad, listen, I just want you to know, like I just want you to be comforted because just because I don't really believe that there's a God like that, when the lights go out, that there's nobody really home, I just want you to know I'm still gonna live a moral life. Like I'm still gonna live Christian principles because I'm not dumb. Like I'm gonna be faithful because I've been around. I see what that does to marriages. I see what that does to kids. I'm just gonna do that. You know, I'm gonna be generous because I don't wanna be some arrogant person that nobody wants to be around. Like, dad, I'm gonna live out the principles. I just need you to know." And he thought he was comforting me. It didn't comfort me. Because I walked away, family, and I did, man. I got up in my room and I had to repent. Because I said, "Lord, that's on me. Because I have been checking the boxes. I've been doing all the right stuff. But if I'm honest, I don't have a fire for you anymore. And I don't know that I have a fire in my marriage. We're both busy. I like her. I love her. It's not the fire. And I just wonder if there's anybody in the room that's doing everything you're supposed to, but your heart is cold and your heart is callous. And if you're honest with yourself, you're just miserable. Like literally, you might be one bad day away from like going to chase the distant country yourself because you feel like this man in the parable, the second son, where you're like, "Look, I've been doing all this stuff and what have you done for me, God?" So, I don't think it's just the prodigal son that needs to stop. Remember who God is again. Just remember who he is and what he's done and how faithful he's been to us. He's been so good to recognize. And he doesn't want us living in a cold and calloused home. He wants us to live in a place that's on mission with fire and fullness and peace and joy, and to realize that it doesn't have to be this way, but we're gonna have to, just like the prodigal, we're gonna have to get up and move. We're gonna have to get up and change. We're gonna have to get up and say, "I'm not going to just zone out for the next 15 years of my life and just be mediocre. I'm not doing it. I want something different, Lord. And it's not like I've been out running, but I still need something different today. So God, I just want to receive. I want to receive a new heart, a fresh passion." I've read this Bible front to back, legit, a lot. Can't find one marriage that was perfect. Isn't that weird? As a matter of fact, the only perfect person is what? Single. Single people are like, "Yeah, that's right." Most fulfilled dude on the planet was single, but he was also married to the bridegroom. He was both. So here's what I wanted to say to you. Brothers, sisters, we all need grace, man. Let's just be real. Most of us, our marriages, they're not where they need to be. Most of us is in our singleness and some of the compromises that we've made, they're not God's best plans for us. So let's get back to it, man. Let's come to our senses. Let's wake up. North America is real weird right now. Let's be honest. Let's snap out of it. Distant country never pays off. Let's get up. Let's move. Let's receive what God has for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you. There's nobody like you. And Father, we need your salvation today. Father, whether we're at the end of a road and it feels broken and impossible, or we're in the house but we feel cold and callous, I think most of us in the room need a fresh dose of a picture of you and who you are and what you give and the joy it is to be yours. Some of us need a fresh picture of you running to us the second we turn our gaze to you, the second we turn around, and that you long to help us find freedom and wholeness and peace. Nobody on the planet like you. No one saves like you. And Father, in this bride, man, Lord, we got some impossible situations. I mean, I don't know how you're gonna do it. But what we know about you is we've been around at this church watching you do impossible for like 60 years. And you always show up. You always run to us. And when we have you, we have everything we need. Help us come back to your ways, to your plans, and to your heart. It's in the powerful name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If today's message made you realize you need to take your next step with Jesus, we would love to help you with that. You can connect with us on any of our social media platforms throughout the week or visit our website at southeastchristian.org. And if you want to hear more content like this, you can check out our sermons podcast or our One at a Time podcast. Both can be found everywhere podcasts are available. Have a great week.